We're back for 2020. My name is Sean Britton. Each and every week, I'm joined by US political expert Ed Blakely to hash out what's going on in the land of the free and the home of the brave. If you enjoy what you hear, drop us a review, subscribe wherever you find the podcast, and check us out on Facebook and Twitter at US of Ed. We'll be talking a lot about Iran today. Ed, firstly, Qasem Soleimani. Who was he and why did he have to die?
He was a man who was extraordinary general by everyone's account. He rose up the ranks, going all the way back to before Desert Storm, showed in the was a general in the Iraq-Iran war, showed his overwhelming genius by basically defeating the Iraqis in every way they turned. And then in other scrapes, he's done the same thing. He commanded the respect of not just the troops, but the people of the country. He was basically the second man or second person in Iran. So his death is a big deal. But sometimes being the second person doesn't endear you to the first person. So while everyone's grieving his loss, some of the higher-ups are, he was out of control. He was kind of a Trump Jr., so maybe it's not so bad.
The White House has made claims that the assassination, let's face it, was to head off an immediate attack on Americans, hence why there was no seeking of congressional approval. But Trump has also suggested it was an act of retribution for the death of an American contractor.
Oh, please, please. An American contractor, they get knocked off every week. No, this was a revenge move for his impeachment. Let's be very, very clear about that. If there's revenge here, it was against the Democrats and the American people in a hope that he could rally Americans behind him. You would definitely claim this, but clearly, if that claim is true, you can show some intelligence. You know, our intelligence community is pretty good with sharing information. They can do that next week before a House or Senate committee. Whatever they show will be much like the Iraq War, where the cards were dealt before the deed was done.
Now, since Soleimani's death, we've seen this enormous outpouring of grief, anger, protest in Iran, thousands upon thousands marching in the streets. Ed, is this a lesson in how to make a martyr?
It is. It is clearly a lesson in how to make a martyr. And it's a lesson the Iranians will not forget. This may come to some kind of an end. I don't know how or where. But there are people who've already sworn on their mother's graves, if they get the opportunity, they're going to kill an American. They will take revenge on any American in the streets of Beirut or Paris or Rome or New York. So this will not be over shortly. Trump just doesn't understand. This is not a military war. This is a people's war. This is a water war of minds, of ideas. And some of these people are willing to die. So let's be clear here. This is not an ordinary war, and a few bombs are not going to end it.
Well, speaking of a few bombs, Iran has since fired more than a dozen missiles at two Iraqi military bases hosting U.S. troops. Although there have been no casualties reported, and indeed, intelligence sources claim that avoiding American military deaths was quite deliberate on Iran's part. Now we're waiting on an American response. The lack of response is almost a response. What's happening?
Well, I think there are a couple of things here. Finally, the military and the Office of the President have to get their act together. Why did we do this? What are we going to do when they respond? Because we know there's going to be a counter response. Let's get the intelligence agencies and counterintelligence agencies working on this and get our defenses together. So when we do that, we can think about what we're going to do as this thing escalates. But clearly, the Iranians do not want Trump to get the American people behind him because he might win the election. Iranians are not dumb. I don't think they want Trump in again. So they don't want to escalate this to the point that Trump wins the election. They're smarter than he is.
I also want to point out this quote from Trump from, I believe, before those missiles were launched. On Twitter, of course, America is targeting 52 Iranian sites, some at a very high level and important to Iran and the Iranian culture. And those targets and Iran itself will be hit very fast and very hard. Now, there was another group in the Middle East not so long ago, I believe going by the name of ISIS, blowing up a lot of people and cultural sites. Ed, people didn't seem to like them very much.
Well, furthermore, that's against international law.
Mm.
And the United States has to respect international law. And the Secretary of Defense, Esper, said so. And then Trump had to say, well, I guess I'll obey the law. I guess I'll obey the law. Here's a chief and law enforcement agent saying, I guess I'll obey the law. Give me a break here. He has to obey the law. The law is the law of the international law. He will not have any support from international elements if he doesn't. So Mr. Trump, again, opens his mouth before he finds his brain.
Where do we go from here, Ed? I mean, getting into the Iran, the Iranian government's position, correct me if I'm wrong, I see developing nuclear weapons as literally the only move they have. They can't just roll over or their people will riot. They face going to war with the mad king who controls the most powerful army in the world. Nukes seem to be the only bargaining chip that could possibly aid them. And if that's the case, the blame solely lies with Trump.
Yes, it does. Nukes will be where they go. But that nuke will not be aimed for the United States. It'll be aimed at Saudi Arabia. That's where the real power is, or at Israel. The Israelis are scared to death now that they'll be the choice. If so, it's really over. We're talking about kind of a third world war. If it hit Saudi Arabia, it'd probably be a small nuke in the oil fields doing enormous energy harm, but probably not a lot of human harm. The Iranians' next move is well short of that. There'll be more damage in other places in the Middle East and in soft targets. Iranians are rational people. We're not talking about Iraqis. We're not talking about Shiites. We're talking about a rational group of people who have figured out that they have something to gain by peace and nothing to gain by war.
Moving on to other news, although, you know, as you say, this is clearly related. Last time we spoke, Trump had not actually been impeached. Now, I wasn't too worried about missing that because it all seemed to go pretty much as we expected. But any thoughts on it now that it has happened and we look toward the Senate?
Well, I think the script here is still being written. Nancy Pelosi has outsmarted him again. And his response, of course, is this temporary act of war so that he can get the upper hand. But she's withholding the impeachment documents before they go over the Senate, rationally saying, well, what's the trial going to be? Which has happened in every other proceedings. Both houses are supposed to work together on these matters in terms of the trial. McConnell's done something that no head of the Senate has ever done, and that's declared his hand before the trial's even taken place. And how's he going to put up his hand and say, I'm going to administer even-handed justice? So we have a double travesty going on. However, there's a way out of this. It only takes 51 members of the Senate to require, absolutely require, that there be witnesses. And one of those witnesses would be John Bolton.
Mm.
Now, what John's going to do here is probably save his own arse. He'll say some things that are favorable, particularly to this event that just occurred. This is his kind of things. This is his kind of action. And so the president's done what he liked. The rest of his testimony will be, well, I suspected something was going on. I didn't know for sure what was going on. Because if he sees this sinking ship, he may be the only lifeboat for the Republican Party. So I'm not looking forward to Bolton's testimony, but there are others who might testify to make this ship even weaker. But it really doesn't matter. The president, as we all know, did the deed. The question is, will he pay for the crime? Much like any jury, they can give you the electric chair, life imprisonment, or 20 years. And he will get off, not scot-free, but free.
Election 2020, the battle continued over the holiday period, especially given the impeachment happening. Some surprising news this week. Despite a heart attack late last year, Bernie Sanders is having a really strong showing, which is giving a lot of his long-term supporters some big hopes. Any thoughts, Ed? Feel the burn 2020?
Well, I think the burn probably is in a better policy position than he is an electoral position. The Democrats can't go too far to the left here because that just gives votes where Republicans vote for the president, for Trump, and middle-of-the-road Democrats stay home or vote for Trump. The people are in a mood for a quiet, smart, able person with dignity. If Joe Biden can get his, I was almost going to say A together. act together, he can do this. He's a bit old, but Bernie looks old.
And some good news. I don't know if you've even come across this one yet, Ed. Ruth Bader Ginsburg, the notorious RBG, has said she is cancer-free after undergoing treatment since mid last year. People concerned already about the direction of the Supreme Court will be rather pleased. Ed, what do we think?
The Supremes. You remember that show? You know, the dance. Oh, the Supremes are back and on the ground. And she's singing and stomping. Let's hope she doesn't have to do it for too much longer. Really. I hope so. It's good news in her case. But I'm always nervous about people who've had cancer declaring they're cancer-free.
Internationally, across the pond for a moment, since we spoke last, we've also seen Boris Johnson returned as UK PM with a pounding majority on a mandate to get Brexit done. Personally, I wasn't surprised to see him back in, was surprised at just how decisively he got back in, and I'm a little surprised they're still actually in the EU. January 31st, now the date to leave. Ed, what's going on?
Is this act ever going to be over? These people have been on the stage a little bit too long. The show's a little bit tired. No one's laughing anymore. Everyone's crying. Get it over with. Meghan, the most sensible person, looks like she's going back to the U.S. with her husband. Look, this is just a tired act. The Europeans are tired of it. Everyone's tired of it. Let the U.K. free. Let my people go.
And the Australian bushfires have been making headlines all over the world. Look, it seems like there've been a real and tragic wake-up call about the threats of climate change here in the country. The government has finally acknowledged, and is now pretending it has always acknowledged, the link between climate change and extreme weather threats. Is this going to be a wake-up call for others abroad? This threat is very, very real.
Well, think we just had a similar set of fires in the Amazon, which threatens our entire environment. These fires threaten our entire environment. Unless you're comatose, you got it. Or unless you're Trump, I guess. Those are the same words, comatose, Trump. They've got it. But let's not go overboard here. There's a natural reaction in a fire culture to fires every 20 or 30 years. If you don't do the back burning and other things to save property, you get burning that burns down property. Mr. Trump's right about that in the sense that California, before some of the environmentalists have been against the back burning, and the campfire fires were almost a direct result of not having the distance between eucalyptus and human habitations. Furthermore, urban planning is now in the trees. We've got in the Blue Mountains and all over the places areas that were formerly entirely bush, now full of people, and houses burn faster than anything. And there's no such thing as a safe house. So the other thing is houses bring in dogs and cats that kill the small mites that would help you keep down the underbrush. So we have a really tragic situation here. The New York Times, the Christian Science Monitor, and others are laughing not just about what has happened and climate change, but our feeble response to these issues. And I think having Australia in the news in this way is not good news for the Australian people.
Mm-hmm. Well, Ed, we're barely one week into 2020, still a pretty busy one. Plenty more for the year ahead.
Well, as I say, it's 2020. Maybe we'll have much better vision going forward.
US of Ed is produced in the studios of 2SER in Sydney. Looking ahead to 2020, if you don't want to miss a thing, subscribe wherever you find the podcast or check us out on Facebook and Twitter at US of Ed.